All right, we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. I'll pray first. Lord, it's your word. These are your people. And we need to hear from you, Lord. We need to know what you are saying today. We sense your presence. We believe you are moving in our land, in our hearts. We believe God is here for us to do something wonderful. So, Lord, I pray the word will be precisely what you have ordained for us at this time. Only your spirit can do that, Lord. So help us, we pray, for everyone on the grounds today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, here we go. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we, for eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, this is the way God works. Christianity sometimes is portrayed in our day as getting people so that they're happy and good people and go to church and then go to heaven when they die. Not really is the way it is. The way it is through problems and trials. Now, Paul had more than most of us. The book of 2 Corinthians is a book of Paul's troubles and pains. But I want to call your attention to something. Think of the fruit that has come from this man's life. Could you quantify? That's an engineering term, John. That was for you. Could you quantify or imagine the fruit that has come from Paul's life? Can you imagine that? Today, here we are in a day of when neutrinos are exceeding the speed of light. And Paul, 2,000 years ago, in those days, so primitive from our understanding, was willing to be crucified. He could. Paul was a very learned Jew, and he could have had a very easy life, very well known. He was a citizen, a Roman citizen by birth in a Roman city, which was a big thing in those days. Many people got their citizenship by paying for it. Paul was a born citizen in Tarsus, a renowned city, and he had been taught by Gamaliel. He had everything going for him that you could imagine. And under the leading of Christ, he turned his back on it all. And he became a jailbird. And he became an outcast to the Jewish people, to all of his family, his race, his religion. Imagine coming in those days and preaching that circumcision was not necessary. I mean, it's hard to imagine anything in our day that is radical as that. And yet, because of Paul's patience and affliction, the fruit that has started in his day has gone through the centuries as devout people have studied the words of Paul. And now in our own day, with all the communication devices, as Paul's words are being broadcast, people, that is incomprehensible fruit. Now, when it comes to fruit bearing, and Lloyd was talking about that, there are three levels according to the Bible, according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. The seed, which is Christ himself, and therefore is the resurrection, and therefore is the life, because that's what Jesus is. And that seed is sown, and according to Matthew and the other apostles that wrote about the parable of the sower, which is the fundamental parable of the Bible, the parable of the sower, one seed bore no life at all. It did not germinate because the ground was so hard. And that's speaking of a hard heart. And there are people, confirmed atheists in our day, who are hard in their heart. Many people in America are hard in their heart concerning the gospel and concerning the reality of God and of Christ. And the seed does not germinate there. Bounces off and lays there in the dust until an animal, a bird, sees it and eats it. And then there is another kind. And now remember, this seed is Christ. This seed is Christ. The life of Christ. And it grew, it germinated and grew up and blossomed and all. But it didn't have deep roots. And so when the sun came up and blasted it, referring to trials and hard times, it withered away and died. Here, Christ had been brought forth to a degree in that little seed there and come above the ground and show green, and yet it perished. So much for eternal security. And it perished because it had never dug down deep enough in the Lord. And a lot of Christian people are like that. And they're shallow. They're shallow as shallow can be. And hard times are coming. I mean, all the prophets are saying the same thing. Chaos is coming, either revolution or some act of war or something. Hard times are coming for us. I've got to tell you, that's the truth. And we need to go deep in Christ and not just be a frilly church member that attends church and doesn't. Other things are so much more important. You know, the new toys, electronic toys and so on, are so much more important than our life in Christ that we don't spend time each day listening for the Lord. There's a lot of things that can distract us. A lot of things. Young people can be distracted by their hopes of marriage or by electronic toys or peer pressure or ambition or whatever. And for take a young person, and it's true of all of us, that we're in a very provocative culture, a very colorful culture and there's something new every day. And to spend the time to dig down in the Lord sometime each, if you don't pray every day and set aside a time to listen to Christ, you're not going to make it. Hey, I'm here to tell you, you're not going to make it because you don't have roots in Jesus. And we've got to, and that seed perished. It never got anywhere. And then there was another seed and that fell and that germinated. But what happened was it was surrounded with all kinds of other growth that the Lord compared to the cares and problems of life. The cares and problems. Audrey and I have enough. If you don't have any of your own, we'll be glad to share. And I know you all do. Cares and problems of the world can kill the seed, Christ. Say, how can you kill Christ? Well, I don't know how you can kill Christ, but all I know is the seed does not bear any lasting fruit at all. It just lays there and rots because of the surrounding vegetation, the cares and problems of life. And all of us have them. And some of us pray about them, and the Lord bears our burdens for us, and some of us don't pray about it, and we become bitter and blame our wife or our husband or the pastor or our boss or whoever. Cares and problems of life will prevent any fruit from coming forth. And the Lord said, if we don't bear fruit, what? John 15. We're cut out of the vine. And there's preachers today saying you can cut out of the vine and still be saved. And what they mean is by go to heaven and be in a mansion. Even if you're cut off out of the vine, that is the impact of humanism on Christian teaching in our day. That God loves people so much that nothing seriously bad can happen to them. Let me tell you something. Seriously bad things happen to people. There's an expression which I won't repeat in church, but seriously bad things do happen to good people. Okay? So the philosophy of humanism, that the most important thing is that people feel good and have fun, has been on us for about 300 years, and it has severely affected Christian thinking. God is all love, and you know, love is unconditional, and blah blah blah. It's anything but scriptural. So that third kind of ground was surrounded with the problems and cares of life, and the seed went nowhere, and so it was cut out of the vine. It doesn't bear fruit. It's cut out of the vine. Amen. Thank you very much. I knew you'd appreciate that. Now, there is one kind of ground that bears lasting fruit. May you and I be that kind. Now, listen to what God called it. He called that kind of ground that received the seed and bore permanent fruit a good and honest heart. Now see, the conventional teaching in the four steps of salvation is there's none good, no, not one, and all that. And that's scriptural. There's none good except God. But that passage in the Old Testament is within a limitation. It's talking about people, some people at that time. These things we read that Paul quoted from the Old Testament, there's none good, no, not one, and there's none righteous and all. When you read what he was quoting from, it'll get down to the end and talk about the righteous. Yeah, check it out. So the idea that there's no person on earth with a good and honest heart is not true. You've probably known people in your life who were not Christians and who were good and honest. And if you never have, that's a shame, because there are such people. You just wish they were Christians, but they're not, and they want nothing to do with it. But they have a good and honest heart. And if you don't have a good and honest heart, you'll never bear lasting fruit. If your natural man does not have integrity, if you are fundamentally a phony, you'll never make lasting fruit with the Lord. Never. If you're a phony. You've got to have integrity. Thank you. I just love it when people just roar in their appreciation. All right. It's taken me 65 years to learn these things. All right, now, let's think about this fourth kind of ground, which was the only one of the four that bore any lasting fruit. That's something in and of itself to consider. All right, now, the remarkable thing about this is that there were three levels of fruit bearing. Well, we would all like to be 100-fold. And remember, this is talking about bringing forth Christ. There's some people who reap 30 bushels to the acre, and some who reap 60 bushels to the acre, and some who reap 100 bushels to the acre. It's not talking about percentage. It's talking about bushels to the acre, so to speak. And so there are some people who bear Christ to a 30-fold extent. Now, what have they borne? Well, they've borne the resurrection, they've borne eternal life, they've borne joy, love, and peace, righteousness, and holiness, all the things that Christ is, they have brought forth from their honest and good heart. But I'll tell you this, it isn't brought forth unless you're willing to let God have his way with your life. It's a case of losing your natural life and learning to live by the life of Jesus. I know that many old-timers have preached that, and I haven't heard it much in our day, but let me tell you that the real thing and the most important thing is learning to live by the life of Jesus. And the reason that people find this difficult is that they want to save their own life. They don't mind going to church. They don't mind giving. They don't mind even going forth as missionaries. Yeah, they'll do that. And still never have learned to live by the life of Jesus. And that is the all-important thing. I cannot stress it too much. You remember in Galatians 2:20, which one of the first verses I ever memorized was where Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The resurrection lived in him. The holiness of God lived in him. But it was not Paul. He was a brilliant man in his own life. We find as he was holding the coats of those that killed Stephen, he was a fervent Jew, Orthodox Jew, Paul was. In himself, he was a very competent individual. But he gave it all up. He gave it all up. And God does not find many people who will do that. Now, as I'm preaching here, I realize it goes out on the tape and wherever else, that even among us here, there will be some who reap. I believe you all will reap Christ. I don't believe if you've had what it takes to stick in this church very long that you're not going to be crowded out with the cares of life or have a shallow roots. I don't think so. But among us, there will be those who reap Christ 30-fold. And I recognize that. I recognize that. And you'll have ears to hear only what you're to hear. When I'm preaching this morning is so fundamental. And you'll hear what you're supposed to hear. And there's some of us who will reap Christ to a greater extent. Does God love them more? No. No. That's not God's way. It isn't a competition to see who's going to get the gold and the silver and the bronze. That isn't the way it works. Well, you say, how then does it work that some reap 30-fold and some reap 60-fold, and yet God has no problem with this? Well, I'll tell you why. Because in the final analysis, God wrote all this out at the beginning of the world. That does not mean that your destiny is frozen. In some way, God works it so that His original predestined will operates, and yet you have the freedom to choose what you will. They both come together, and you say, I don't understand that. Well, it's God, but it is true. Because you see, the desire to serve God and go deeper with Him comes from God Himself. Can you pray for it? Most certainly. And if you have a desire to pray for it, the desire will come from God. So it's a catch-22. Anyway, you look at it, it ends up that God has His way, and yet He judges whom He will judge. And Paul wrestled with this and said, well, the only answer is that God is the potter and He'll do what He will. Now, there's two factors that operate as far as the abundance of fruit. And one of them, as I've already said, comes from God. And He wrote it down in His book at the beginning of the world. Nothing takes God by surprise. In fact, before Christ was, God was. And forth from God came Christ. And through Him, God created all things. Even the angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, everything was created by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word from the beginning, and all things were made by Him. And Christ doesn't know everything. Did you know that? I wrote this down. Let me see if I've got it. Matthew 20, verse 20. I want you to notice this, because we've had a doctrine of the Trinity, which is good in that it gives Christ His proper role as divine. But now that we're coming closer to the end, it won't serve. It's not entirely scriptural. Let me show you this. Matthew 20:20, the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of Him. This was an ambitious Jewish mother. She wanted her son, if he couldn't be a doctor or a lawyer, to at least sit on Christ's right hand. What is it you want? He asked. She said, this good Jewish mother, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. Now this shows in her heart there was faith. See, there was faith. Just, there's something here, and I want my boys in the middle of it. But notice Jesus' answer, and it doesn't fit with the current doctrine of the Trinity. He said, you don't know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? See, suffering and rulership go together. In the old days, we used to say the cross and the crown. And they do go together. There's no getting away with it. The higher you are appointed in the kingdom, the more you're going to suffer. Hallelujah. Smile and say amen. The higher you are appointed, and if you pray for a high place in the kingdom, you're praying for suffering. What was it? Brother Yoakum was one of the old Pentecostal miracle workers, and one of his disciples came to him and said, Dr. Yoakum, pray that I will have wisdom. And Dr. Yoakum laid his hands on him and said, Lord, send this man more tribulations than he's ever had. Well, so much for Dr. Yoakum. They said, we can. Oh, these good Jewish boys that picture himself on the right hand and the left hand of Christ. Oh, boy. They answered, Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup. And you remember, even Jesus said, let it pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. When Jesus talked about his body and blood, nearly everybody left him. You know, there were thousands there hoping he was going to make some more food. And they all left him except 12, one of whom was Judas. 12 out of thousands. And yet through them, Christianity came to the world. Through the 12. Not through the multitude. Through the 12. But when you read their history of them, John, exile, Thomas, speared to death in India, tradition has it that Peter was crucified upside down. Yes, they drank the cup. And through them, Christianity came to the world. It didn't come to the happy multitude. It came from these who stuck with Jesus when he talked about things they couldn't understand. That they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood. But the multitude sensed that there was something in there that was unpleasant, and they left. But there was 12, one of whom was Judas Iscariot, who stayed and drank the cup. Not Judas, but the 11 did, and the apostle Paul, who filled in as the 12th, they drank the cup. And if you're called to a high position in the kingdom, you're going to drink the cup. I'm talking now about the hundredfold, but let's go back to what he said. But to sit at my right hand or left, now watch carefully, is not for me to grant. Whoa. So much for the Trinity. So much for three gods, all equal. It won't stand up in the light of Scripture. And that's not to take away from the glory of Christ. He's still Lord of all. He's still the Word from the beginning. He's still the only begotten. He's the atonement. But it doesn't fit with the Scripture to say there's no Father. That doesn't fit. He said, now notice this. It's not for me to grant. I don't have the authority to do this. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. And you remember again in the book of Revelation, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. And there are many such instances, and I don't want to dally on this topic of the Trinity at all, but what I want to point out is that one of the two, I told you there's two factors that determine whether you're 30, 60, or 100. Didn't I say that? There's two, and I'm talking about the first one, is that it's ordained by God. Notice that these places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. So, in the case of fruit bearing, it has to do with God's intention for the individual. Now, that's not democratic. We're going to have to learn that the kingdom of God is not democratic. And we're going to have to learn not to be jealous of those whom we see shining as the stars forever, where God has appointed us to a lower place. Let God be God, and whom he appoints not because they're worthy, but because God, this is the potter working from the beginning of time. Now, I said there were two. There's a second element that is crucially important, and that is your willingness to be pruned. Now, we go along in our Christian life, and some of you may have experienced this, and we bear a certain amount of fruit, and we think, boy, we're a real pillar of the church, you know. I mean, we're really something. And every popcorn testimony meeting, we pop up, and people sit there and think, will she ever sit down and shut up? Of course, you've never thought like that, but there are people who do think those kinds of things. And everybody knows they're just in love with themselves. They have a narcissistic spirit, and they want everybody to know that they are a real soul winner and a real old-time Christian. God loves them. And there, when at a later time, when God shows them what they really look like to the congregation, they're mortified. It isn't that they enjoy making fools out of themselves. It's just what they are. And guess what? God loves them. So let them rejoice in their youth and preen their feathers, because if God's hand is on them for something greater, the day will come when they're pruned. Now, pruning is not fun. And the first thing you know, all that you thought you were such hot stuff is gone by one way or another. You always have said, I've never been sick a day in my life. If we have faith, we'll never be sick. And then down you come with some disease. And it's hard for a person like that. You know, and the Bible's full of it. And Job, the reason Job is Job, you know, the devil thought he was putting one over on God there, and God had planned that from the beginning and put it in Job's heart to do what he did. God is in control of everything, because he was bringing forth a testimony that many people have found to be the one thing that saved their sanity, was the book of Job, to realize that a man could be so righteous and yet be brought so low has helped many people. He was pruned, and he was pruned severely. He started out knowing all about the house of God, Bethel. Bethel means the house of God, Beth-El. And when Job was finished, he found the God of the house of God, El Bethel. And this is an experience that those experience whom God has called past the 30-fold level of fruit bearing, they have to be pruned to get past that 30-fold level. So when it happens to you, don't think it a strange thing because you experience some fiery trial. Just remember Paul, and he went through things you'll never go through. And Christ, who drank the cup of fear of being separated from God for eternity, just remember these and the other multitudes, the millions behind you who have had their Gethsemanes and have had their strippings and their pruning, but stayed with it. And as a result, you profited, and I profited from their steadfastness. So when you go through a hard place with God, and it seems, you know, one time I was a happy Christian, I was going to the Youth for Christ meetings. I was seeing the devils deserted, and I'm so happy in all the other wonderful Youth for Christ, and there's a place for the Youth for Christ, and it's wonderful. And you say, I can remember it intellectually, but emotionally I can't remember what it felt like to have such confidence in God and to be so happy. I can remember intellectually there was a time when I was sure I was on top of the situation, and now I don't know where I am. I guess I don't think I'm in a grave. I believe it's a tunnel, but Lord, how long, how long, how long? Sometimes people go a few years. Listen, you can go 20 years, 30 years. You say, well, that doesn't sound like authentic Christianity. That doesn't sound like happy people sitting with their children at their knee. No, it doesn't. But it's the real stuff. And in those 30 years, you'll learn God. There's a period of time between the vision and the fulfillment. And it's in that period of time that the saints are made. You see, someday you're going to die. We're going to die. And we're going to be with Jesus. And he's going to show us the splendor, the splendor. I can't describe to you the splendor of what you'll come to if you'll stay with Christ. I tell you, I could get up here and yell at you for 2 days, and I could not describe the splendor that you will receive if you, like it says in the second chapter of Revelation, if you stay in that prison. You know, a crown of life is not some little Reynolds wrap crown that your Sunday school teacher made you. The crown of life is the authority to govern the works of God's hands eternally, like Melchizedek. Tremendous glory. Unbelievable glory. And if you say he's drawing a longbow tonight, go out and look at the planets and the stars and the firmaments and just say to yourself, God spoke these into existence. And then you'll see what I'm telling you is not an exaggeration. It's glory beyond glory beyond glory we're facing. Because it's the gifts of the King, the greatest King of all. And so why this time? Why this time when we're mucking through the earth, trying to survive, trying to be secure, and nothing happens? We make it a day at a time, and we may not be content with that. We may want to see the future. But a lot of things have to be walked through, just walked through, walked through, walked through. And there will be people in the church who will utter Bible school prophecies over you that came into their mind and will never come to pass. But you keep on going. I was reading about Job's comforters yesterday. Oh, I hate those guys. They were so unfeeling. Here's a guy covered with boils, lost his family, lost everything. And they're up there saying, you know, well, if you were righteous, this wouldn't have happened to you. You ought to be like us, you know, stinkers. But people will do that to you. Oh, yes, they will. There's a Job's comforter born every minute. While you're going through, God, will this ever end? Doesn't sound very nice, does it? But this is where God's kings come from. Like he told St. Anthony, a king wants to drink from a cup that's been in the fire. And then if God sees that you've made it to the 60-fold level, You know, God has a bunch of people around him, and he's always talking to them and asking their advice. You see that when he asked them, how would he persuade who was that guy to go up and die in battle? And one, some spirit came up and said, put a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. God has all these counselors. I saw that one time in vision, the Lord Jesus, and he was ascending up to something, and he was followed by his counselors. I tell you, that was the most majestic thing I ever did see. So God says, what do you think about that guy or that girl? What do you think about them? Boy, they're doing great, and I really knocked them down good. And I said, should we go for the hundredfold? What do you think? Will we lose them? Will we lose her? I don't know. See, God is a gambler. He's a gambler. When he goes to pruning people, he's gambling that he'll lose them. But he does it because of what would happen if they make it. For God, for them, and for mankind. And so he weighs it and he listens. What do you think, guys? What do you think over here? Well, let's go for it. Here's this poor person. They finally made 60-fold fruit bearing, and they're glad and happy and humble. They're no more, you know, the hot potato in the church. They realize that God is God, and all our gifts come from God. They didn't come from us. So let's go for it. First thing you know, the person's, what is happening? I don't feel his presence. What's gone wrong? Honey, do you know what's gone wrong? Have I done something wrong? It isn't happening. It used to be I just have faith for something and it would happen. I'd pray for something and it get healed. And now I pray for them and they die. What has gone wrong? And this can go on for a while. Finally, you come to the place, you say, well, I guess I'm still alive physically, but I am dead. I'm dead. Talk about Aaron's rod in the fire. I'm a goner. That's the best you can say for me. I guess I'll never... If I have a little tent on the corner of Glory Land, I'll be satisfied. You know what? Aaron's rod, which was already hardened in fire, it was a walking stick, was thrust in there in the presence of the ark. And out of this dead stick came blossoms, buds and blossoms and almonds out of death. And the greatest fruit that is ever born in Christendom, the greatest fruit, the eternal fruit, is not occurring where you can see, where multitudes are all excited and hooping it up and thousands of people. It's little saints hidden away that have been willing to go in this third death and resurrection. And out of them, like the Apostle Paul, who finally was brought out early in the morning so it wouldn't cause an uproar in the city of Rome, and his head was chopped off. But out of that man, the blessings cannot be counted. And if you and I have been appointed, see, it has to come from God. It cannot be given by me, Jesus said. It has to come from my Father. And if that has been God's choice concerning you, that he wants you to be an epical person, a person who really turns things around for eternity, he'll put that desire in your heart. And if that desire comes into your heart, you say to God, I will do your will no matter what it is. And it's firm. You'll never be able to say, while I'm alive on the earth, that I looked for a man to stand in the gap before me, and I couldn't find one. And you tell the Lord that. Say, as long as you leave me alive on the earth, you'll never be able to say that. And you tell the Lord, I'm not boasting in myself. It's going to take your grace and your power. You won't pray that prayer unless God puts it in you. You won't pray that. You'll think of some other things to do. Just the time you decide to pray it, the dog will bite your leg or something. But you have to insist. You have to keep coming at God. Keep coming at God. I'm not going to be turned aside. This is what I want. I want to be hundredfold. I want to bear Christ a hundredfold. I'm not satisfied with anything else. God will prune you. And you'll go through the pruning just fine. But it will make you a dead stick. You won't be a lively Christian. You'll just be someone that's thankful that I get through today, Lord. Was it okay? Did I do anything wrong? If I did, I fix it, Lord. All you want is to please God. That's all. That's not for everybody. What I'm saying this morning is not for everybody. It's for those, and including those who hear my voice electronically, it's for those who God appoints and He puts it in your heart. Yes, I want God's best. No matter what anyone else does, I want God's best. Whatever it costs. You will not have a lot of friends. You see, when you get at the 30-fold level, there are multitudes of people at that level that have Christ in them and He's growing. And you get to the 60, and they're not that many. And you get to the 100, and it's just one here and one there across the world. You know, God has been so good to us to give us an internet site, and now the Kindle and all. There'll be people in places you never heard of. They'll be in churches, and everybody will be going on, and they'll be getting souls are coming in and everything. And it'll hit one person, and they'll say, that's what I want. That's what I want. I don't care if school keeps or not. That's what I want. Oh, yes. There'll be people all over the world. If that weren't the case, a preacher preaching what I'm preaching would have probably five people in the congregation, because it's one here and one there. Now, it's always to whoever will. See? It's always an opportunity. You say, well, you've talked about God's choice, and you've talked about pruning, and then now you tell me it's an opportunity. Yes. Yes. God will never say no to someone. And they say, God, I want to go further with you. And then God says, no, it isn't going to happen. Because God needs people. See, these are witnesses. What these people at this hundredfold level end up is, they're all witnesses, actually. But they're just witness like the Apostle Paul to a greater extent. And God needs witnesses and wants witnesses. So if someone comes to God and says, well, I heard what the man said, and that's what I want. God isn't going to say, well, you're not appointed to that. You know, God needs such people. And you say, but that doesn't fit what you're talking about. Oh, yes, it does. Because you're not going to say that unless God puts it in your heart. How will I know if God puts it in my heart? You don't have to worry about that. Just do it. Someone said, well, how will I know if I'm chosen? Act like it. That's all you have to do. It's very practical. You want to know if you're chosen? Act like it. You want to know if you're a hundredfold Christian? act like it. And God will never prevent you. But as I said, we're coming up to glory that I can't describe to you. Unspeakable glory. Great patriarchs of God shining like the stars forever, inheriting millions of people. But why this period of time? You know why? Because God wants to get to know you. And he wants you to know him before you see the glory. That's why. Simple as that. Jesus is a person. He can be everywhere at once, but he's still a person. And he wants to know you before he shows you the glory. Because when you see the glory, you'll forget all about the Lord. For the time being, you'll forget all about Lord, and he's standing in the background. You're not looking at him anymore. See, you died, and you're laid in your cherry wood coffin, and then you rise up in the spirit world, and there is Jesus. Yeah, well, you're all enamored with Jesus. Oh, Lord, I never thought I'd see you like this as a person. Well, here I am. You can give me a hug if you want to. And then he says, look, and he shows you your inheritance. And then Jesus fades out of them. Out of the picture. Whoa! And so now he's working so that you won't forget him in the glory. You see that? And you'll remember, wait a minute. And you'll turn and say, Lord, thanks. It was because of you. All of this was because of you. Yeah. It's simple. Everything of Christ is simple and understandable. And we're on our way. We're on the gospel train. We're going, and some of us will, I think everybody here will be on the fourth ground, and some of us will reap 30, and some 60, some 100, depending on our calling. But again, you can always ask if you want to go higher. Shall we stand? Oh, dear Lord, help us all. Maybe you want to come to the altar and take 5 minutes before you rush out of the church and just tell the Lord, you know, I like the idea of that hundredfold, and I know it's going to be rough, but I'm here and I don't want to die and realize I could have been 100-fold for you, and I was too lazy and too disinterested to bother about it. And if that's your case, and you want to come to the altar and say, Lord, I want to be 100-fold. It's here. Maybe a little soft organ music will help us. These are real things that I've talked to you about, things that God has revealed to me. I didn't make them up. Just last night he told me about that reason that he wants to get to know us. And while there's no glory, it's just us and him. Last night. I never knew that before. He's so good. I hope I lived to 150. Imagine what I'd be able to tell you then. But I'm afraid that is going to happen. But if you want to come, come. You know, the waters are shallow. It's free to whoever will. Maybe your sights have been too low. You thought, well, I'll never be anything, you know. Don't think like that. With God, all things are possible. If you want to go for the hundredfold experience, then praise the Lord, the people that will benefit. God will benefit. Think what Paul benefited mankind because he was willing to let go of his own life, let that seed fall into the ground and come up and bear fruit 100-fold. Just think of what it has meant to you and me that Paul was willing to do that. We'll see him someday. So it can be you if you want to. And if you need to pray about it, the altar's open. We're not going to draw this all out, but if you want to come, you're sure welcome. And you can always ask God because he doesn't say no to people that want to progress in his kingdom. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that you have shown us the one thing that's important in life. I thank you for that, Lord. And that our vision, our eye, is beyond this world to that which is eternal. And you've done it, and I know it. And so, Lord, thank you very much for that. In Jesus' name. Now, God's blessing be with you. And as you go, remember, this life is very short. And eternity is very long. And you have a chance now that you won't have later to go for God's best. Amen. God go with you. Praise the Lord.